Now I've got Declan Bourne, who's an addiction counsellor with Kilbarrick Coast Community Programme, in studio with me. Hello, Declan. You're welcome to the programme.
How are you keeping?
We're going to talk about CE cuts, which are going to hurt the Kilbarrick Coast Community Programme. Isn't that right?
That's it. There has been some publicity around the budgetary cuts, which people may be aware that materials budget and the training budget has been cut by 66%.
Right.
But I'd love to be able to give a brief history of the Kilbarrick Coast Community Programme.
Go ahead, welcome to do it.
And then after that, I'm going to talk about one particular change which I believe and KCC believe will close the programme.
Okay.
So what happened was, it's now accepted that there was two heroin epidemics in Dublin. The second one in the 80s hit most disadvantaged areas, north side, south side, you name it. Mm-hmm. And it was in response to this second heroin epidemic that people from Kilbarrick, local people, joined forces with the then health board, with FOSS and with other agencies to set up a programme to help people address their drug misuse problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that was done. KCCP opened its doors in July 1987, roughly 14 years ago. And since then, we've helped hundreds of people from Kilbarrick to, in some cases, completely stop taking drugs. And in most cases, get them to reduce their drug intake, mm-hmm. to re-establish relationships with family members. So all in all, the project has been incredibly worthwhile. It won an award 2 years ago as being the best adult education centre in Dublin. So it has all the gold stars that it needs. And we know ourselves the work that's been done. But one of the changes that Minister Joan Borton has brought in is that people with disability or people with loan parents will not be able to come onto the programme in future.
Right.
She's saying that she's not stopping them. She's giving them a personal choice. For the last 14 years, you could come onto our programme and you could retain most of your disability or most of your loan parents. In the last few years, you were means tested. So you came onto the programme and you lost around 80%, or sorry, you lost approximately €80 off your disability or off your own parents.
Mm-hmm.
You then came on and you got paid CE rates to come onto the programme. You stayed on the programme for 3 years. You engaged in counselling. You engaged in training. And at the end of the 3 years, 95% of the people we've dealt with were in a better place leaving the programme than when they ever came on the programme. The minister's saying that you will no longer be allowed to do that. You'll have a personal choice. If you want to come onto our programme, you have to surrender your disability or you have to surrender your loan parents' book. In my opinion, people won't be inclined to do that, because if you get disability, certain other benefits come. You get your medical card, you get travel allowance. So I can't see anybody who has spent a lot of time and effort getting disability, I can't see them surrendering that to come on to a drug rehab programme.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for the individual? What does that mean for... It means that people... In the past, people came onto our programme 7 to 9 years after they developed a drug problem. So unfortunately, they come onto the programme in the majority with serious psychological and medical problems. So while on our programme, as well as getting counselling, we would link in with the HSE, and we would help these people address their medical and psychological problems. In the future, people aren't going to join our program.
Yeah.
At the moment, we've 18 clients. 14 are on disability, 2 are on loan pardons, and 2 came because they were entitled to join the program because they were unemployed. So 16 out of the 18 are in the categories that the minister has said will be affected with these changes. So looking into the future, the minister is saying that no project will close, and she's issued press releases to that effect. And even if we got the budgetary cuts reversed, we're still going to close because people aren't going to join the programme.
Right, Declan. So 18 people out of the 19. Is it 19 under screen?
We're approved for 19.
But we've got 18.
We've 18 just at the moment. And of those, 16 benefit with either loan pardons or disability.
Right, so 2 people are actually on CE schemes, and that's their weekly income is what they get on CE. But the other 16 people are receiving other benefits as well as their CE money.
That's it, yeah. That,
so the exercise that the minister is proposing to undertake is to stop anybody from going on it. This is my understanding of it. To stop anybody from taking up a CE course. Well, she's not stopping anybody from taking up a CE course, but it's either or.
That's one
or the other, one payment or the other, but you can't have both. Isn't that it?
Yes.
Now, basically, that's it, really.
In the last 2 to 3 years, everybody coming onto our programme has been means tested.
Right.
So everybody has suffered a cut on what the government refers to as the primary benefit.
Yeah.
So on average, people have been cut €80, whereas this cuts it completely.
Yeah.
Does away with the ability to retain some of your primary benefit.
Yeah, yeah.
And people, all people are motivated by money to a degree.
Of course.
We saw that with the chief executive of Anglo-Irish. We see it with ministerial advisors.
Yeah.
They all seem to be motivated by money.
Yeah.
And I see absolutely nothing wrong motivating drug misusers to seek treatment by offering them some monetary incentive.
Okay.
So this incentive has existed in KCCP for 14 years, but in other projects for 15 and 16 years. And this incentive, by the stroke of a pen, I'm told, went on the 16th of January.
Right. So when you say, Declan, that the KCCP will not be able to continue, when do you envisage that happening?
FOSS have indicated that people on the programme enjoying the old arrangement can continue to stay on the programme. So,
with all their benefits?
Yeah. It's only new entrants from the 16th of January.
Okay. So if you calculate then...
We'll hobble along for a year.
A year, not a year.
We'll close within a year.
Okay. And do you think that's definitely going to happen? I mean, would it not be possible, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, would it not be possible then to attract people onto the scheme who would be just eligible to collect their CE money and work along on the scheme as, you know, normally? I'm talking about new clients, for example.
That's it, yeah. You'd have to, a good indication of what's going to happen in the future is what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 on the programme that came from being unemployed onto the programme, that's the kind of ratio we've had in the last 14 years.
Right.
So there would be nothing to indicate to me. Now, the government has changed government policy with regards to alcohol, and we've embraced that policy. So we were set up to help drug misusers, and in that particular time, it was primarily heroin misusers.
Yeah.
Now, we have the whole gambit from tablets to crack cocaine. But we've also embraced the government policy that we also help people with an alcohol problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the history in Ireland and trends in Europe is that people with an alcohol or a drug misuse problem find it hard to seek help and to seek treatment.
Right.
So, as I was saying earlier, the unfortunate thing is most of them would continue to take drugs chronically for 7 to 9 years before they seek help.
Mm-hmm.
Is there people out there who are possibly unemployed that could benefit from our programme? Yes, there is. Will they apply to come onto the programme? No, I don't think so.
Why not?
One of the things that taking drugs chronically does is kind of robs you of your dignity and your self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
So that the people are not inclined to seek help. They're more inclined to hide it. Even I go so far as hide it from themselves.
Yeah.
In other countries and in other programmes in Ireland that I can think of, there's one in particular that funded by the HSE. They set up working on the assumption that you were saying that people will seek help because they need help. And they put a great programme, great building, great counsellors, great trainers in place, and nobody came.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had to give, they've had to pay people, they would refer to them as expenses. But what I would refer to as an incentive, they had to give people a monetary incentive to seek treatment.
Right.
And there is a payback now, because I know all of these cutbacks are all about saving money. But there is a massive financial payback. There's 46 similar projects to KCCP in the 26 counties. We have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can break the criminal cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So people come onto our programme. They've been in and out of prison and youth detention centres from an early age. Once in our programme, 99.99% of them stopped their involvement with criminality.
Right.
So that's a fantastic saving to the state, but it's a massive bonus to the local community
as well.
Of
course, yeah, of course.
By getting, whether it's liver, kidney, by getting them seen before they become chronic, is lessening the burden on the state's expenses.
Yeah.
And then the one that I feel passionately about is if you're taking drugs or alcohol and it's a problem for you, not only is it affecting you, but it's going to be affecting, if you have children, it's going to be affecting your children.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be affecting your family.
Yeah.
So the government recently endorsed a report by the National Advisory Committee on Drugs, which looked at the need for focused work to be done with the children of drug misusers and people with alcohol misuse problems. We year on year have been expanding our services into the community, providing counselling, introducing, following every government policy around drug treatment, trying to be ahead of the posse, up to international best standards, working with the children of drug misusers.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, if the cornerstone of our project falls, which is the CE programme, the programme falls.
Does that mean, Declan, you mentioned 46 other similar programmes in the 26 counties. Will the same? Can you envisage the same thing happening to the rest of them?
Definitely.
Do you think they'll all go?
All within a year.
And what happens, I mean, the government then obviously haven't thought this whole thing out in this regard. What happens to all the clients, we'll call them, of the other programmes and your programme on a 26 county basis? Where do all these people go and what do they do then?
Well, at the moment there's 800 plus in the 46 programmes.
Mm-hmm. But then there's a wider organisation of families. And
that's it.
Yeah.
Well, you could have the situation... and I have to sing the former minister Pat Carey's praises Pat Carey put the family support groups on a sound financial footing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't speak for them. I presume that they've had some cutbacks in the last budget. But you could have a situation where the family groups would continue to survive. But the programmes that deal directly with the drug misuser, folding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's kind of a... I wonder if the government is thoughtless or heartless, and I haven't come to any conclusion.
Yeah.
But I'm a bit wary of the fact that by bringing in this element that those currently on the programmes can remain in place, and it'll only affect new entrants. It does mean that none of these 46 programmes will close on the one day.
Yeah.
They're all going to close on different days.
And
it's like a slow death.
Different times of the year.
Different times of the year.
Yeah.
So the ability to launch a campaign and then... I come onto programmes like this and I write letters to various politicians. Mm-hmm. And in my heart and soul, I know that there's some people out there who feel that drug misusers shouldn't get treatment.
Well, but that's only a minority of people in the community. Surely, Declan, that, you know, unfeeling people, uncaring people. We say that the reason for this is because it's all to do with the funding and the fact that the government don't have the money. But you made a point there. You said you don't know whether it's unthinking or uncaring on behalf of the government. Would you be inclined to come down on the side of unthinking? Because if it's that aspect of it, then it means that they haven't really thought out in the long term what happens to all the clients of the 47 programmes on a country basis. What, you know, are they looking at people being left to just kind of rot in a sense and go back to their old lifestyle habits, which you mentioned crime there earlier, which really doesn't benefit the community at large in the long run, does it?
That's it. And
so would you consider that they haven't really thought the whole thing out properly, maybe, you know?
There's a possibility because in fairness to Foss, when the heroin problem became an issue right across the city, they adapted community employment programmes to suit the needs of communities that were suffering the brunt of this. So they bent and hammered community employment nearly out of shape to help drug misusers.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue that that wasn't the correct vehicle or that the health board and now the HSE should be more active or whatever. But Forrest came to the rescue of communities when no other state agency would.
Mm-hmm.
They ran two pilots, the Sale Project and the Merchants Quay Project, and then they rolled it out fairly fast to any community who wanted what's called a special status programme, were given the money to do so. The Minister and her department may be unaware that in the hundreds of CE programmes, that there's 46 drugs programs.
Yeah.
The minister may be unaware that one change that was introduced on the 16th of January will result in them all closing.
Yeah.
Now, we as a project have made the minister aware. Citywide is an advocacy group for all communities. They've made the minister aware. And so far,
have you had any response?
Not a dicky board.
Okay, well, maybe she's too... She's been given a fright then by people making her aware of the fact that there are 46 communities out there, and if they all go down, then the powers that be are facing bigger problems than they would have by keeping them open. But if we can just go back to focus for a brief period on the funding aspect of it. When Foss was setting up all these community organisations and all, the money wasn't in short supply, Declan. There was money to do all this sort of thing. Things have changed now. dramatically in the last few years in that regard. There is no money for anything really. Everybody's being cut back and being made pay charges for this, that and the other. It would be a great thing for your project and all the other programmes to be able to continue as they are doing. But if there's no money, where would you envisage them getting the money from to keep it going?
Well, a bit like I'm working with people who take drugs. Part of my role will be explaining to them that life is all about choices.
Yeah.
If they can build up their self-esteem, if they can build up their self-worth, if in some cases, if they can park things that happened in their past, and if they can make healthy choices, life gets better for them.
Yeah.
So with this government, they have choices.
But is this government expecting the people to make those choices now by saying you can get by on CE payment? You don't need that other allowance that you're getting. It's only a crutch to keep you from fulfilling yourself. Is that the attitude they have? Do you reckon the government might have in this particular regard?
I've certainly heard people articulate the position.
Yeah.
That drug misusers shouldn't need to be incentivised to seek treatment.
Right.
A light should go on in their head, and they should say, I should jump at this treatment, even though there's no monetary incentive for me. I will be able to turn my life around if I get this treatment. And I'm looking forward to waking up someday and finding
that I'm a whole person again. Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the day when I wake up and life fits in with that.
Yeah.
Life doesn't fit in with that scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's very few projects can turn around and say that they're life-saving. In the 14 years, we've had 5 of our clients die.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say to you honestly that number would have been much higher if that programme wasn't there.
Yeah, I can agree with that, yeah.
And then I keep coming back. In America, there was a big debate in the 50s saying that people with an alcohol problem in particular were moral degenerates. That what they were doing to themselves and the consequences that followed from it, they kind of deserved it.
Well, that's a bit harsh, really, isn't it?
No, well, you can take that position.
Yeah.
But where I argue with that is, what about the children?
Yeah.
In a recent government initiative, nurses with a specialisation in addiction were put into the maternity hospitals to work with pregnant mothers who had a problem with alcohol or drugs. Unfortunately, when they leave the maternity hospital with their children, there's a tendency not to link in and to seek help. I would love to see the day where some sort of an incentive could be put in, whether it be free childcare, whether it be so, to get those people linked back in.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the statistics show that the children of drug misusers, and I'm not demonising or judging anybody,
yeah,
but the children of drug misusers and the children of alcoholics have a higher propensity or a higher proportion of them, when it comes to coping with life's stresses, will turn to alcohol or drugs. At some stage, we need to address that, and we need to put the programmes in place to deal with that.
Okay, Declan, we time has really moved on with us. We're up against the clock. But can I ask you one more question before we wind up? There's 46 and other programmes countrywide, and yours is 47, is it?
It's 46.
46
in total.
In total. Can you just ask? And I have to ask you to be very brief. You're an addiction counsellor in Kilbarrick. How many other addiction counsellors are there in Kilbarrick? Are you the one? Are there more?
No, the HSE have a drug treatment clinic in the health centre in Kilbarrick. Right. There's a very good addiction counsellor there. We would have two on the staff that are counsellors.
Okay, well, can I just broaden this out, because I want you to try and give me, if you possibly can, 46 other programmes in the 26 counties. Overall, what sort of figures would we be looking at addiction counsellors for the whole lot of them?
We're trying to double up. I'm the community employment supervisor.
So it's nearly 100.
Yeah.
So what happens to the 100 people if all the programmes close down, over, albeit over a period of a year or so?
And in each project, there's on average 5 support workers.
Right.
So you're looking at 800 clients not having a service in the future.
Yeah.
You're looking at 200 staff not having a future once the programme's closed down.
Okay. Declan, we really are going to have to leave it at that. But thanks very much for coming in and talking to me. We could go on and on and on about this, and I'm sure we can talk at length again about it at some time in the near future.
That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.